B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Nun Gimel, and we're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. We're starting a new perek B'siyata d'shmaya. Says the Mishnah, Keitzad ma'abrim es he'orim. We know that we're learning about Eruv Tchumin. Eruv Tchumin means that surrounding a town, besides for the town itself, one is allowed to walk 2,000 amos in any direction. In order that the Eruv, that the Tchum, should be a square to gain the possible protrusions, as we're about to see, we want to gain as much possible space that the people should be allowed to walk. So the Chachomim said, you actually square off a town, which means if there are any protrusions, then we just measure the entire side of the town as if it was square, as if the entire city was coming to the place of the where there's the most protrusion. And that is called ma'abrin. Ma'abrin is the term of like an isham uberes, a pregnant woman where there's a protrusion, you can see that she's carrying a baby. So to a town, we extend the town and square it off. Keitzad ma'abrin es ha'orim, how do we extend the boundaries of a city and thereby determining the tchum of 2,000 amos from that point? Bayis nichnas, bayis yoitza. In the event that there was no wall going around the city, there were just homes, and there was one home that was recessed and another home that was protruding. And that means that the wall was not it was not totally level. Then what they would do is, as we'll soon see, they would take the measure, which was the string they used to square off the town, and the home that protruded on one corner or on one part of that edge of the city, they would assume that all the homes were protruded that amount, and that's where they would square off the city and count the 2,000 amos from there. In the event that the city had a wall around it, pogum nichnas, pogum yoitza, if there was a tower, which is typical for cities with walls around, there was one of the towers was recessed, it was further in, another one or another tower was protruding beyond the wall, or hoyusham gedudiyos gavoyos asara tvochim, if there were ruins of buildings that were 10 tvochim high and they were extending from one of the city's corners, or geshorim, or if there were bridges protruding at one of the corner, or nefashos, or tomb buildings, sheyesh ben beistira, those that had dwelling that one could dwell in them. In all these cases, moitzien es hamido kenegdon, they would extend this measure, this rope that they would use to square off a city and be able to measure the 2,000 amos. They would moitzien es hamido kenegdon, they would extend this measuring line as if it was level, the entire edge of the city, and it would be level to the outermost point of all the above mentioned. And the boundary surrounding the city would be made as if it was a square tablet. Obviously, it doesn't mean square in terms of that all sides of the city are the same, because that doesn't necessarily have to be true. It could be a rectangular. But either way, they square it off, meaning that it's that each side is straight and right angled, so to speak, with every other edge of the city. And the outermost protrusion is the one that defines the edge of the city. Kadeshi Niskor es Azovyes, in order for them to gain all those additional areas in the corners. Says the Gemara, Rav Ushmuel. There was a discussion between Rav and Shmuel as to when the Mishnah says Keitzad Ma'abrin, and Ma'abrin, as it's printed in our Mishnayos, is written with an ayin. The question is, Chad Toni Ma'abrin, V'chad Toni Ma'abrin. Rav and Shmuel, one of them actually taught that it was Ma'abrin with an ayin, and that would mean like a woman who is Ma'uberis. And the other one learned it was Ma'abrin with an aleph, which means a limb, as if there's a limb protruding at one point, and then they would, so to speak, protrude such a similar limb, virtually speaking, for the rest of the edge of the city, and that's how they would square off the city. The question is, which is correct? Is it ma'abrin with an ayin? Is it ma'abrin with an aleph? Mandatoni ma'abrin, the one that taught that the correct version is ma'abrin with an aleph, they understand the word to mean aver, aver. That there's an imaginary limb protruding at one corner to straighten off and be parallel with the limb that's protruding on the other corner. For example, if on the south of the city, on the western corner, there's a tower protruding, a type of limb, then they would, virtually speaking, have a similar tower on the eastern side of that southern edge of the city, and then they would pull a rope between one tower and the virtual second tower, extending the entire edge of the city to the point beyond the tower. Umandatoni ma'abrin, the one that taught that the correct version is ma'abrin with an ayin, is ki'isha uboro, is like a pregnant woman whose body is enlarged and there's parts of her body which are protruding, she's carrying a child, and that's this city also, if it's got protrusions, they would square off the city. And now the Gemara is going to bring another discussion, Rav and Shmuel, on the meaning of a couple of other words in the Torah. Ma'oras ha-machpelah. The Torah speaks about the double cave where the Ovois were buried, where Adam and Chava are buried, the Imois, most of the Imois were buried there. It's called Ma'oras ha-machpelah, a double cave. Rav and Shmuel, they were arguing, Chad omar shnei batim zu lifnim mezu. One said that this cave had two rooms, one in front of the other. V'chad omar bayis ve'aliya al gabov. The other one said it was a room with another room, a level on top of it. It was two rooms, one on top of the other, not one inside the other. Says the Gemara, bishlei milamando omar ze al gav ze. According to the opinion that says that it was two rooms, one on top of the other, Hainu Machpelah, we can understand why it's called a double cave, because there are two roofs there. There's something double about it. Elo lemando omar shnei batim zu lifnim mezu, but according to the opinion who says it was two rooms, one inside the other, Mai Machpelah, what concept of double is there? Answers the Gemara, you're right. It's not double in structure, it's double in content. Chekfula bezugois, that this Ma'oras ha-Machpelah, this room inside the other room, it's not called Machpelah because it's two rooms. It's called Machpelah because those buried inside were buried in couples. There were multiple couples buried there. As we learned from Chazal learned from a Pasuk, Mamre Kiryas Arba, that Hebron is referred to Mamre, the city of four. What's four about the city? Omer Yitzchok, Kiryas Arba Zugois. It's the city that had four couples buried in it. In the Ma'oras ha-Machpelah, there were four couples buried there. Adam and Chava. Adam, Rishon, and Chava were buried in the Ma'oras ha-Machpelah. Avraham and Sarah. Avraham Avinu with his wife Sarah Imenu are also buried there. Yitzchok and Rivka. Yitzchok and his wife Rivka Imenu are buried there. Yaakov and Leah. Yaakov Avinu and Leah are buried also in the Ma'oras ha-Machpelah. So since they're four couples, they're buried there as couples, it's called Machpelah, a double cave. Continues the Gemara, another example of a word that can be understood two ways, Vayihi b'mei Amrophel. It was in the days of Amrophel. Rav Shmuel, they argued, who is this Amrophel, or more accurately, not who he was, but what was his real name? Chad Omar Nimrod Shmoy. Once one of them held that his actual name was Nimrod. However, the Torah called him Amrophel. V'lomo nikro shmoy Amrophel. Why was he called Amrophel? She omar v'hipil le'Avraham Avinu b'seich kivshon ha'esh. He gave a word and he cast Avraham Avinu into the furnace. And the word omar, he said, and hipil, he threw. Omar and hipil together make Amrophel. That's why he was called Amrophel. But his real name was Nimrod. V'chad Omar, another opinion was Amrophel Shmoy. His real name was Amrophel. V'lomo nikro Shmoy Nimrod. Why was he also called Nimrod? Shehimrid es kol ha'olam kuloi olov v'malchusoi. The word Nimrod is from the word Mered, which means to rebel, and he caused the entire world to rebel against Hashem. Another example. V'yokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says that a new king arose over Egypt. Rav Shmuel, again, Rav Shmuel argued, what does chodosh mean? What was new about this king? Chad Omar, chodosh mamash. One says it was genuinely, impractically, a new king. the old king died, the new king was anointed. The other opinion holds that it was just that his decrees were made new. They were new, but the king himself, he was not a new king. The opinion who says that it was genuinely a new king, it says he was a new king. If he says he was a new king, we imagine it was a new king. The other opinion who says that just his decrees were new, they notice that the pasuk doesn't actually say that the previous king died and a new king was appointed. It just says a new king arose. So they assume it was the old king with new decrees. And now the Gemara asks, according to the opinion that it was just that the decrees were renewed, Hoksiv Ashela Yoda es Yosef, it says that this new king did not know Yosef, didn't know about Yosef. If it was the same king, just that he renewed his decrees, what does it mean he didn't know Yosef? Of course he knew who Yosef was. Answers the Gemara, my Asher lo yoda es Yosef. What does it mean that he didn't know Yosef? The Havadomi commander lo yoda le Yosef klel. It seemed as if he'd forgotten who Yosef was. He totally ignored the fact that everything that he knew about Yosef and how Yosef had saved Mitzrayim, and he just disregarded that and started making terrible decrees against Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Simon, Shmoyne Esrei, Ushnei Mosor, Lomadnu, Bedovid, V'yovin. And others say that it's not Bedovid, it's Bedoyer, and it's not V'yovin, it's Libon. And we'll see this in the Gemara, that these are different things that Rabbi Yochanan said that were to do with his Rebbe, Rabbi Oishia Beribi. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shmoyne Osoyomim Gidalti Eitzel Rabbi Oishia Beribi. For 18 days I spent with Rabbi Oishia Beribi. Beribi was a title given to a very prominent person in the generation. And I only learned from him one thing, and that was about our Mishnah. I learned from him that the accurate version of the Mishnah is Keitzad Ma'abrin with an Aleph and not with an Ayin. Says the Gemara, Eini. Is it really so that Rabbi Yochanan, whilst he was together with his Rebbe, Rabbi Oishia, all he learnt was that Ma'abrin in our Mishnah is with an Aleph? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan said, Shneim aso talmidim hoyu loyil Rabbi Oishia Beribi. There were 12 students to my Rebbe, Rabbi Oishia Beribi. Ushmoin aso yomim gidalti b'neim, and I spent 18 days between them, says Rabbi Yochanan. V'limadati leiv kol echod v'echod. I learnt the heart, how clever, how intuitive each student was. V'chochmas kol echod v'echod. How wise and knowledgeable each one was. This seems to be that he learned a lot of wisdom, a lot of chochma, whilst he was there with Rabbi Oishia Beribi. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that the only thing he learned was that the correct version of our Mishnah is Ma'abrin with an Aleph? The Gemara gives a number of suggestions. One answer is Leiv kol echod v'echod v'chochmas kol echod v'echod gomar. He learnt the unique level of intelligence and wisdom and intuitiveness of every single one of the students. Gomara loy gomar, but he didn't actually learn any learning, any quotes of Torah that he didn't learn, besides for this one thing that Ma'abrin is with an Aleph. Iboyes Eima, another possible solution. Minayu didhu gomar. From the students themselves, he learned lots of divrei chochma, lots of wisdom. Minay didei, but from Rabbi Oishia Beribi himself, loy gomar. He only learned this one fact that Ma'abrin is with an aleph. V'ibois ema, a third solution. Dovar echod b'mishnasenu k'omar. The only thing he learned regarding and relating to Mishnayos is that in our Mishnah Ma'abrin is with an aleph. But regarding brises and svara and understanding, he may have learned many other things during those 18 days. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Rabbi Yochanan, Keshayinu leimdim Torah itzel Rabbi Oishia, when we were learning Torah by Rabbi Oishia Beribi, hoyinu yoishvin arba b'ama. We were sitting, four of us talmidim, cramped together in a single amma. And this was a miracle. And it was their commitment and their their desire, their thirst for Torah, that is how they crammed together to hear every word from Reb Oshia, their Rebbe. Omer Rebbe, in a similar context, Rebbe said, "Kashayinu leimdim Torah etzel Reb Elazar ben Shamua, when we would learn Torah by Reb Elazar ben Shamua, hayinu yoishvim shisha shisha ba'ama, we would sit six of our students in a single amma." And this is an even greater ness than what we mentioned before, four to an amma. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Yechanan, Reb Oshia beribi bedoyrei, Reb Oshia beribi in his generation, Reb Meir bedoyrei, was compared to Reb Meir in his generation. Ma Reb Meir bedoyrei, in the same way as Reb Meir in his generation, lo yochlu chavei reiv lamoid al seiv daitei, his colleagues could not fathom the depths of his understanding, the depths of his reasoning, and this is something we saw on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Af Reb Oshia, so too Reb Oshia beribi, he was so deep that lo yochlu chaveiro of lamoid al seiv daito, his colleagues were unable to fathom the depth of his understanding and reasoning. Omer Reb Yechanan, libon shel rishonim kepischoi shel ulam. The hearts of the previous generations, we'll soon see who they are compared to the entranceway of the ulam of the mizbeach, of the ulam in the Beis HaMikdash, that was very, very large. And on Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph, we already saw that that area encompasses the entire Torah. V'shel achreinim, but the minds of the scholars of the later generations, kepischoi shel heichal, are relatively smaller, like just like the entranceway of the heichal, which was smaller than the entranceway to the ulam. V'onu, but for us, which are even later generations, kimloi nekev machad sitkit, is just as small as the eye in the needle, a very fine needle, the one made that was used to mend tears in the clothing. Rishonim, who are these Rishonim that Rabbi Yechanon mentioned that their hearts were like the Pischoi Shel Ulam? Rabbi Akiva, it's referring to Rabbi Akiva. Achroinim, who are the later generations? Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Ikad Omra, others say, Rishonim Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, the earlier generations are Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Achroinim Rabbi Oshia beribi, and the later ones are Rabbi Oshia beribi. Va'onu kemaloi nekev machad sitkis, but for us, our minds are like the eyes of this needle that is made to mend tears in the clothes, which is relatively minuscule compared to the previous generations. Omar Abaya. Abaya added, va'anan, and for us, ki siksa beguda l'gemara. When referring to gemara, which is comprehension and understanding Torah, we are like siksa beguda, it's like a peg. We're trying to force a peg into a very narrow hole into a wall, and that's very challenging and hard to get it in, and you can only get a very narrow peg in, and even that's very difficult. Abaya said that's how difficult it is for us to comprehend Torah. Omar Rava. Rava said, Va'anan and us, ki etzbaso bekira lisvara. Regarding svara, which is understanding the halachas of the Torah, it's as difficult as etzbaso, like trying to force a finger, bekira, into a hard lump of wax. And it's very difficult. You can't really get your finger into the wax. You can just get a bit of wax stuck to your finger. So that's so too with us. When it comes to understanding the Torah, some of it sticks to us, but it's very hard to get into it. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, Anan for us, ki etzbaso bebira leshikcha. Regarding how easy it is to forget what one has learned, it's like etzbaso bebira, it's like putting a finger into a pit, which is very, very exceptionally easy to do that. That's how easy it is for us to forget our Torah. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda Marav. Bnei Yehuda, the residents of Yehuda, shehikpidu al lashonam, they were very particular with the way they would speak. They would speak in a very refined fashion. Niskaimo teirosam biyodom, the Torah knowledge they attained, they was retained, it stayed with them. Bnei Golil, however, the people of Golil, Shaloik pidu al lashonam, they were not particular in the way they would speak. Lo niskaimo teirosam biyodom, the Torah knowledge did not stay with them. Asks the Gemara, Midi bikpeida talya milsa, does the amount that Torah is retained and stays with a person depend on how particular he is in his manner of speaking? El, or rather, it's as follows. It's not how particular you are, how refined you are with your speaking. It's rather how precise you are with recording what you've learned and understanding and remembering what you've learned. Pnei Yehuda, the Daike Lishna, the people of Yehuda, they were very precise in the language that they very meticulously recorded the exact terminologies used by their Rebbes with the transmission of Torah. And therefore, they managed to, they received a very accurate version of Torah. Umisnechei lehu simna, they assigned symbols, signs, to remember exactly what they had learned in its accurate and precise fashion. And that's why Niskaim Oteros and Biyodom, they retained their Torah knowledge. Bnei Golil, however, the Bnei Golil, the Leidaika Lishna, they were not precise in the matters of language. And they did not assign symbols and signs to remember what they had learned and the accuracy of what they have learned. They did not retain their Torah. Another reason, says the Gemara, Bnei Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, Gomru Michad Rabba. They learned from a single teacher, they got used to his style, his fashion of transmitting Torah, and therefore they could retain Niskaim Oteros and Biyodom, the Torah stayed with them. However, Bnei Golil, the people of Golil, Deloi Gomri Michad Rabba, they did not learn from just one teacher, they learned from numerous teachers, and every teacher had a different way of teaching and different style of teaching, and therefore, Lo Niskaim Oteros and Biyodom, the Torah they learned was not retained in the same way as the Bnei Yehuda. Ravina Omar, Ravina says that Bnei Yehuda de Galu Masechta, they would reveal the Masechta, and Rashi's got two explanations. What does it mean, de Galu Masechta? Either it means they would teach it to others, or it means that they would be very particular at understanding the and every word and the depth of every word that they received, and therefore Niskaim Oteros and Biyodom. However, Bnei Golil de le Galu Masechta, the people of the Golil, where they did not elucidate their learning so much. They didn't need to give it over to others. They were not prepared to give it over to others. They didn't put in that effort to be particular and understand every single last word of the Torah. Lo niskaim haTorah on biyodom, and therefore the Torah was not retained in their hands. David HaMelech, Gali Masechta, he would teach Torah to others, as we saw in Brochas Daf Dalad, and in Moed Kotten Daf Tezayin, Rashi brings, David HaMelech was particular to teach Torah to others, and therefore, Ksiv Bey, it says, David Gali Masechta, Shaul Loi Gali Masechta. However, Shaul HaMelech, he was not used to revealing and elucidating Torah in the way that David HaMelech was. David the Gali Masechta, Ksiv Bey, regarding David, who was revealing and teaching Torah and being particular about every word of it, it says on him, Yirei Echo, Yir'uni V'yismachu. Those who rever you, you shall see me, David HaMelech, and rejoice. And the reason for rejoicing is because the Torah that he was teaching was accurate and his halachic decisions were binding. Shaul de le Goli Masechta, however, Shaul that was not learning in this way, Ksiv Bey, it says with him, Uvechoil Ashayifne, wherever he would turn, Yarshia, something would go wrong, and that means that his halachic decisions were inaccurate and not binding. And now more about Shaul HaMelech, says the Gemara, Va'omer Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shemocha Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Oisei Ovoin. From where do we know that Hashem forgave Shaul for actually killing the town Noiv Ir HaKoyanim? There was a town that was almost entirely killed out. Most of them were Koyanim. Shaul killed them because he thought that they were ganging up with David HaMelech against him. And we know that Hashem forgave him for that Avera Shenemer, as it says, that Shmuel, after Shmuel HaNovi, he passed away, he said to Shaul, Mochor ato uvonecho imi, tomorrow you, Shaul HaMelech, and your children will be with me. What does it mean with me? Imi b'michinitzosi, together with me in my division, in my area in Gan Eden. And from the fact that Shaul was going to be in the same place in Gan Eden as Shmuel, it's very clear from there that Hashem forgave him for that Avera. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Abba, Yi'ika de Mishalu libnei Yehuda de Daika Lishna. If someone asks the people of Yehuda And we know, as we saw before, that the people of Yehuda are very precise in matters of language. If somebody were to ask them, Ma'abrintnan, oy Ma'abrintnan, is the correct version in our Mishnah with an Aleph or with an Ayin? Or if somebody would ask them, Akuzutnan, oy Akuzutnan, this is regarding Becheiros, where one of the treifas, one of the things that would tell us that an animal is treif and cannot be used as a korban, is if it only has one of the testicles. How would one test if an animal that seems to have one testicle, but it does have two pouches, how would we know if there's a second testicle hiding there? Then the animal would be positioned on its akuzu. And then there would be a procedure that they would be able to test if there's a second testicle that would come down into the pouch. The question is, this akuzu, is it spelt with an aleph or with an ayin? So Rabbi Abba said, what do you think would happen if we asked the people of Yehuda which is the accurate version? Ma'abrin or ma'abrin? Akuzu or akuzu? Yoda. Of course they will know. She'ilinu. So they asked the people of Yehuda these two questions. Va'amrele, the people of Yehuda answered, Ikedetoni ma'abrin. There are those who learn ma'abrin with an aleph. Ve'ikedetoni ma'abrin. And those who learn ma'abrin with an ayin. Ikedetoni akuzu. Ve'ikedetoni akuzu. Some write akuzu with an aleph, and some write it with an ayin. Which means that there's a basis for both versions, and neither one is absolute correct or incorrect. Continues the Gemara. Bnei Yehuda Daika Lishna. Mahi. Let's have an illustration of this fact that the Bnei Yehuda were very particular and precise in matters of language. Dahu Bar Yehuda, there was this person from Yehuda, Da'omar Luhu, who said to people, he declared to the public, Talis Yeshli Limkir, I have a cloak to sell. Omrule, they asked him, Man, my Gavon Talischa, what is the color of your cloak that you want to sell? Omar Luhu, he answered them very, very precisely. Katardin Ale Adoma is similar to the beat on the ground. He explained and he described the exact color without leaving any possibility of ambiguity. He was very precise with his language. Bnei Golil. However, we learned that the Bnei Golil were not so particular with their language. Deloil Daikalishna, they were not precise in matters of language. Let's have an illustration of that. Mahi. Datanya, we saw in the Braisa. Dahu Bar Glila, that was a person from Golil. Vahavu Ka'ozil, Va'omar Luhu. He went and he declared, he was asking people, Amar Laman, Amar Laman. Who has Amar? Who has Amar? Omrule, they said to him, Glila Shaita, you foolish Golil person. The word Amar can mean four different things. Do you mean Hamar? Hamar Lemirkav? Which chamar means a donkey to ride on. Oy chamar, do you mean wine, lemishte, to drink? Amar, do you mean amar with an ayin, lemilbash, which is wool for clothing to wear? Or oy imar, do you mean imar, which is a sheep, leitkaso, which is to be slaughtered? Tell us what you want. Tell us what you're looking for. So you see there that the Golil people, they said in a very slurred language, they'll just say a word that could mean anything and everything, and was very unclear. Another example, Hahi itza debohi elameima lechaverta. There was a certain woman who wanted to say to her friend, Toi. And Rashi says she actually wanted to say, Shloivti, my friend, Toi. Come, do'oichlich, I want to feed you chelba, with fat to eat. However, she didn't say shloivtich, which means my friend. Omrlo, she said to him shloichti, which actually means nothing. Toichlich, instead of saying toi, come v'oichlich, I will feed you, she said toichlich, you should be eaten by, instead of saying chelba, fat, she said lavya, which is a lion. And she said to her friend, you should be eaten by a lion. That's not very sensible thing to say, and clearly showed the inaccuracy and the lack of precision in the way they were speaking. Another example, maybe a bit comical, but not so funny. Hahu itza, there was a certain woman. Da'asi lekamei d'dayna, she came in front of a judge. What she wanted to say was that she had a tablet, which is a big block of wood or whatever it was, that somebody had stolen from her. And he wanted to impress on the Dayan that it was very large, it was even larger than he was. And so she said as follows, Omrole, she said to this judge as follows, Mori, my master, Kiri, but instead of saying Kiri with a kuf, which means master, she said Kiri with a chof, which means slave. Taflo, obviously, instead of saying Tavlo, I had a tablet, she said Taflo, which means I had a beam. Vegonvuch min, instead of saying that it got stolen from me, she said, Vegonvuch, they stole you from me, as if the dayan, as if the judge had been stolen from her. Ukdu havas, and this is what it was, and now it was, instead of saying this is, she wanted to say this is how big it was, she said, Kdu, and now it was. Dekadshadru loch ilave, that, and she wanted to say that if it would be measured against you, it would be even larger than you. And she said, "Tekashadru loch ilavoi." If they were to hang you onto this beam, loimoti kari chara, your feet would not reach the ground. And this was very clearly not a very comfortable way of speaking. And this was another example of the indistinct speech and the unclear speech of these people. Continues the Gemara, now that we've been speaking about different types and precision of speech, there's a concept called Lashoin Chochma, which means, literally it means wise talk, and Rashi says it was the way that they would speak when other people would not really understand what's being said. It's very much an enigmatic way of talking, a cryptic way of talking, where certain words were used and either you got it or you didn't. Amsa de Bei Rebbe, the maidservant in the home of Rebbe, kihava mishtoya beloshen chochma, when she would speak in this cryptic fashion, omra hochi, she would say as follows, olas nokfus bekad, the ladle has hit the barrel. Really what she was trying to impress on the students that were there, that the barrel of wine is empty and the ladle used to draw out the wine has hit the base of the barrel. It's empty. Yid'un nishraya l'kinehoin, the eagles should fly to their nests. And she was telling them in a very diplomatic way, she was saying to them, I think it's time for you to leave and to go back home. And when she would want them to continue staying in the home of Rebbe and staying at the table, she would say, "Have Omrulu." She would say to them, "Yade Bosar Chaverto Mino," which means a piece of her friend shall be removed from her, referring to another barrel. They were going to remove the stopper from another barrel, even though this barrel, the one that they'd started drinking, is now empty. We are going to remove a piece of her friend, the next barrel, from her. V'tiskafei olas bekad, and the ladle will then float in the barrel, ke'ilfa da'oz lebayamo, like a ship floats on the sea. And that would be her way of saying, we're going to open another barrel of wine, and you should feel comfortable to stay. Another example, Rabbi Yosi bar Asyon, ki hava mishtoi beloshen chochma omar, when Rabbi Yosi bar Asmon would speak in this type of cryptic fashion, he would say as follows, Asur li shur b'mishpot betur miskin. What Rabbi Yosi bar Asyon actually wanted was Asur li make for me, and he wanted them to make for him tardin beets with chardal, with mustard. And the word tardin, beets, can be split into two. Tur, which means actually an ox, and din, which means judgment. The word chardal, which is similar to hardal, could be split into two. Har being a mountain, and dal meaning poor. So he would say in his enigmatic form, he would say, Asuli shur b'mishpot, prepare for me an ox in judgment, betur miskein, with a poor mountain. And those wise amongst them would understand that he wanted beets in mustard. The katava shoil b'ushbiza, when he was inquiring after the welfare of an innkeeper, Omar Hochi would say as follows, because an innkeeper is actually ushbazichani. That's what an innkeeper is. And this word is actually split into ush, pi, zu, chi. Now these four words, ush, pi, zu, chi, ush, is like ish, is like a man. Pi is a mouth. Pum is a mouth. Zu is din, is like this. Chai is alive. So what would he say? He would say, Gvar pum dein chai. The man of this mouth is alive. And really what he was asking was, Ushpezuchi, how is the innkeeper doing? Mazu toivo yesh. Where is this good that there is? And he meant to ask, is this innkeeper alive and how is he doing? Another example, says the Gemara, Rabbi Avohu ki hava mishtoi b'loshen chochma. When Rabbi Avohu would speak in this fashion, Hava Omer Hochi would say as follows, Asrigu lepchomin, make the coals like an esrog, which means burn the coals and make them glow like an esrog, in order that we can warm ourselves up. Arkiu lezahovin, spread out the golden ones. What he actually meant was spread out the coals so that they should glow like gold. V'osu li shnei magidei ba'alota, and make for me two indicators in darkness. Who are the indicators in the darkness? They are the roosters that in the dark, when they make their sounds, one knows when and what time it is in the night. So he said, prepare for me two indicators in the darkness on these glowing silk gold, which is the coals, that had been shining like an esrog. Ikad Amra. Others say that Rabbi Avohu would say, V'yasu li bohen shnei magidei bal'oto, and make with these coals two indicators in darkness, which means to roast the roosters on the coals. Another example, says the Gemara, Omri li Rabbonon Rabbi Avohu. The Rabbonon said to Rabbi Avohu, Hatzpineinu heichon Rabbi Loi tzofun, show us where Rabbi Loi is hiding. Omar lehen, Rabbi Avohu said to them, Olat, which means rejoicing, Olat benara, he rejoiced with a young woman, Aharonis, Achiranis, Eironis, vihin iratu. Those are the words he said. What does he mean? He said, Olat benara, he was rejoicing with a young woman, Aharonis, from the tribe of Aaron, she was a Kohenis. Achiranis, the latest one, because his first wife had passed away, this was his second wife. Aaronis, a very lively one, Vahin Iratu, and she kept him awake last night, and now he's resting. Omri lo Isha, some say he was referring to a woman that Beloi had just remarried and stayed up the previous night with his new wife. Vomri lo Masechta, others actually say that these words, these cryptic words that Rav Avohu said, Olatz benaro, aharoinis, achroinis, eironis, vinarito, is actually means a mesechta, which means he was learning Torah. He stayed up all night to learn Olatz benaro, which means that he rejoiced with the Torah. Aharoinis, which part of Torah, Seder Kochim, which discusses korbonois, which belong to the tribe of Aaron. Achroinis, which means that he made a siyum on a previous mesechta and now started a new seder, a new mesechta. Eironis, it was very lively and it kept him very involved. Vehin erito, and it kept him up all night. And that's why he's not available now. Omrulei l'Rabbi Loi, they said to Rabbi Loi, Hetzpineinu heichon Rabbi Avohu, show us where Rabbi Avohu is hiding. Omar lehen, so Rabbi Avohu answered again, not Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Eloi answered back in cryptic form, Nisyoitz b'machtir. He took counsel from the one who crowns, v'hingiv l'mefiboishes, and he went south to Mefiboishes. What did he actually mean? He actually meant that he was granted permission by the Nosi to go and learn from the greatest scholars that lived in the south of Eretz Yisrael. He'd been promoted to the title of Rebbe, and he could go and learn with the Chachomim. And that's why he was not here. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Yeshua ben Chananya said, Miyoma Eloi Nitzchani Odom, in all my days, no one ever got the better of me in any verbal encounter. Chutz mi isha, tinoik v'tinoikas. Besides for an incident with a woman, an incident with a little boy, and an incident with a little girl. Isha mayhi, what was the incident with the woman? I was once staying at a certain inn. The hostess made for me some beans. Even though the custom in those times were that person would leave a little bit over on his plate, and that would actually be the portion of the meal that the waiters, those serving, they would eat that. And he didn't, he ate up the entire dish. Shnia on the second day, and I did not leave any of them over. On the third day, then this hostess, she actually burnt, she didn't really burn it, she oversalted the dish. And kivon sheta'amti, and as soon as I tasted these beans and realized how salty they were, moshechti yodi mehem, I withdrew from them, I couldn't eat them. Omra li, so this hostess asked me, says Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi mipnei ma in chasoyed, why are you not eating? Omaratilo, I said to her, kvas aditi mi b'oidyoim, I already ate during the daytime, as if to say I'm not hungry. Omra li, so she said to me, hoyol lecho limshoich yodecho minapas, so why are you just not eating the beans? You should have not eaten the bread either. Omra li, she said to me, she added and she said more to me, Rabbi, could it be that it's because you didn't leave over a little part of the beans in the first 2 days when I gave you the beans? Maybe you're now leaving over the beans now to make up for it. Did the Chachomim not say, "Ein meshayrin peor beilfus"? One does not leave over a little bit, a portion for those who are serving in the serving pot. Avol meshayrin peor bekaro. But we do leave a portion over in the plate. Could it be that that's why you're not eating, because you're leaving over on your plate what you should have left over the last 2 days? And she got the better of him. Tinoikus mahi. What was the incident with the little girl? Pamachas hoyisi mahalich baderech, I was once walking along the road. V'hoyisod derech hoyveres basoda, and I noticed a path that was going through the field. V'hoyisi mahalich po, and I walked along it. I assumed if it was a well-trodden path, it's a public fairway, I can go through it. Omroli tinik achas, a little girl said to me, Tinoikas achas, a little girl said to me, Rebbe, loyisode hizu, can you not see this is a field? Is this not a private field? How are you going through it? Omar Tilos, I said to her, Loi derech kvushohi, is this not a well-trodden path? Is it not clear that the public are allowed to go through it? Omroli, she said to me, Listim kamoischo kovshua, it's other thieves like you that have trodden the path in a private field. You're not allowed to go there. And all those that went there against the law. Tinuk mahi, what was the incident with the little boy? Pa'amachas oisi mahalich baderech, I was once going along the way. And I saw a child sitting at the crossroads, at a fork in the roads. And I asked this little child, which is the road that will take me to the town? So the little child said, this one here is short and long. But this one is long and short. V'olachti b'ktzora v'aruka. Bishua ben Chananya says, I went on the short and long one. He told me it was short. I'll go on the short one. Kivan shigati le'ir, when I was approaching the town, motzasi shemakifin oiso gano yisu paradesim, I realized it was surrounded with gardens and orchards, and it was impossible to actually reach the town itself. It was very complicated to find the way around these orchards and gardens. Chozarati la'achoreis, I turned back to where I came from. Omartile, I said to the little boy, Bni, haloy omarto liktzoro. Did you not say this was a short road? It doesn't take you to the town. Omarli said to him, Veloy omarti lechod, did I not tell you aruko, that even though it was short, it was long? It was short in distance, but it wasn't going to get you so easily to where you want to get to. Nishakti val roishois, I kissed him on his head, v'omartiloy, and I said to him, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are Klal Yisrael, shekulchem chachomim gedoylim atem, you're all very wise. And this was expressed by this speech. He said, Aruko k'tzoro, k'tzoro v'aruko, migdoylchem at k'tanchem, from your old to your young, you're all very, very wise, you're wise people, and this is tremendous praise to Klal Yisrael. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.